it has been a constant source of amazement to me after 35 years in the city and 10 years in politics how few people understand money. I don't mean the scatterbrained among us who squander it on cars, booze or handbags. I'm talking about what is it for? Why do we use it? How do we abuse it? I hear politicians and journalists bandy jargon and buzzwords they clearly don't understand. Let me explain. Most of us half listen to the news, vaguely picking up bits and pieces here and there as we quietly go about our lives of quiet desperation. If you're a butcher, baker, doctor, bricklayer, chef, you might know some of this. If you're an economics graduate from a state university, it will be completely new. We hear plenty about GDP. The government gets excited when it goes up. It allows them to pretend all is well. The economy's on track. We are being successful. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We heard much of this in the autumn statement. It is, of course, all nonsense. GDP is a measure of national monetary transactions. It goes up, it goes down. It is no measure of wealth or economic well-being. My old Euro constituency, Yorkshire and North Lincolnshire, could increase its GDP by 2% easily in 2016 by adopting the following plan. Dig a massive hole in the Yorkshire Wolds. I mean monster. Move the spoil by truck over the Humber Bridge and build a huge mountain in Lincolnshire. Diesel sales would shoot up, truck companies would prosper, transport cafes would enjoy a bonanza, as would the road menders and health and safety boys, and aren't there plenty of them? The activity would awe the rest of the country. Yet no real wealth has been created. We still have Keynesian economists who think the problems are lack of demand in Western economies. This fallacy is injected into their minds at state universities, where the lecturers are paid by the taxpayer. In short, on the take from the wealth-creating class. Reinforced by stockbrokers, bankers and investment houses who make profits from easy money because they're at the front of the queue when central banks dish it out. The most successful period of the UK history is the Industrial Revolution. It came about with virtually no government interference, sound money based on gold which could not be stolen or degraded by politicians for short-term electoral advantage. And much of the point I made in my last broadcast. A loaf of bread was the same price in 1816 as 1895. Now that's price stability in spades. I have long advocated a system of guest interviewer on state TV. Someone trained to ask questions with rapier precision, not the bullying, bluster, ignorant pseudo-celebrity frontman supported by fresh-faced children researchers. The Chancellor would not last 5 minutes with me or any of my Mises Institute colleagues. Yet I watch in despair as the TV anchorman tackle the post-autumn budget in much the same way as would Ron Burgundy. This administration has printed £350 billion, increased the national debt by 50%, yet GDP has grown only by a measly 2.5%. Frankly pathetic. 50% of this GDP is spent by the government, who printed, borrowed or stole it from taxpayers to start with. Anyone getting a sense of irony? So the upside should be at least hospitals and schools as good as Sweden. Our roads as good as Germany. But of course they're not, are they? Similarly, our police and our army should be the envy of the world. Our standard of living should be rising. If we are so successful, why has the standard of living for ordinary folk stagnated for 10 years? Why do great swathes of the UK suffer from 30% youth unemployment? Moreover, who is going to repay all this debt? £7 trillion, including public pensions and funding initiatives. Indeed, can you conceive what £1 billion is? Never mind £1 trillion, and never mind again £7 trillion. When we are told inflation is only 2%, what do they mean? Of what does CPI or the old RPI consist? White goods, flat TV screens, mobile phones, computers. The average family worries about food, house prices, booze, fags, petrol, diesel, college fees. 2%, my arse. They must think we're really stupid. The problem is the reporter from the Daily Telegraph, the BBC, Sky TV don't live in our world. They seem oblivious to old age pensioners and their struggle with crap annuity rates, unaffordable planet-saving electricity, rocketing travel costs, children who will never afford their own home. Inflation is rampant for all those who want to see it, mainly in asset prices. It is the middle class who are the nouveau pauvre. Yet they are, in the main, the wealth creators. Not just here, but in all industrial economies. When I was younger, inflation was the demon. It is now for the citizen. Inflation just means higher prices. So why is it being encouraged? It is the only way politicians and their central bank partners in crime can bail themselves out, totally degrade fiat currency and pay off the debt in toy money. Everybody loses except those on index-linked salaries and pensions. In other words, politicians and civil servants. And of course those boys in the bank. Some particularly moronic economic commentators are now arguing oil is getting too cheap. Too cheap! Hands up anyone who wants more expensive petrol. And where does the money come from for all these freeloaders? You guessed it. They borrow or print it. Or tax the wealth-creating sector. Anyone getting a feeling of déjà vu?